The following program has been produced by Devon in Sight, your local sight loss charity. When you've finished listening to the recording, please return the USB data stick to us in the yellow pouch provided. Turn over the address label in the front pocket of the pouch and put the pouch in any postbox. Please remember, there is no need to pay any postage as this item is sent using the free Articles for the Blind service. If you would like to make any changes to your free subscription, please put a note in the pouch or call us on the Devon in Sight helpline. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I will begin. Hello, and welcome to InVision Magazine, the magazine of Devon in Sight. This edition is the Spring 2023 edition, issue number 34. Now, the cover of the magazine this time has a couple, a man and wife, I assume, walking through a field of bluebells, and the trees have just come into leaf. The tagline on the front says, "Connecting you, getting out and about this spring." And now, the Chief Executive Officer's welcome by myself, Graham Flynn. Welcome to the spring edition of InVision Magazine. Spring, for many, is a symbol of new beginnings, when the first green emerges from the ground and the first bud opens. People the world over celebrate life's triumph over death. Flowers bloom for the first time in months, against the ruthlessness of ice and snow. Animals awake from winter-induced hibernation. The sun shines again, bringing an end to the enduring darkness of the past 3 months. The earth comes to life once more. They say that dreams shape the world. Devon in Sight's dream is to make Devon a sight loss friendly county. Part of this work is being undertaken in partnership with Devon County Council. In this edition, we are encouraging you to try and get out and about more this spring, particularly using public and community transport. We are promoting the Devon Access Wallet as part of our Tackling Loneliness with Transport project. Our programme of Living Well with Sight Loss events continue around Devon with the aim of reducing isolation through technology and transport. We've also updated our social club directory so you can try and engage with other people who are blind or partially sighted in your local community. Spring is definitely in the air. Chapter 3. Supporting you, an overview of our services. Devon in Sight offers a range of holistic services for people who are blind or partially sighted, their families, friends and carers who live or work in Devon. This is a summary of our core services. Our Information, Advice and Guidance Service. We are committed to providing accurate and impartial information, advice and guidance. You can access our comprehensive information resources through our helpline on 01392 876 666. That number again, 01392 876 666. Our website is available at www.devoninsight.org.uk. If you put Devon in Sight in your search engine, it will come up at the top of the list. InVision magazine is available free in a range of accessible formats: large print, digitally via email, and in audio. It can also be accessed on your smartphone through the British Wireless for the Blind app and your Alexa smart speaker through the talking newspaper skill. Our independent living services. We work with you to identify the equipment, support and training that will help you maintain your independence and live life to the full. We undertake this valuable work in partnership with health and social care and the voluntary sector. We have a unique assistive technology partnership with Sight and Sound Limited, the UK's leading provider of equipment, software and services for people who are blind and partially sighted. We also offer Living Well with Sight Loss events across the county, where you can meet partners in health and social care, the voluntary sector and community groups. Our health and wellbeing service aims to help keep you physically and mentally fit and safe in your own home. We can help you make some healthy lifestyle choices, such as smoking cessation, or arrange a free home safety check with the Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue Service. We can also provide emotional support and, in some cases, formal counselling. For fun, friendship and really useful information about living life with low vision, you can join our free telephone-based chit-chat calls. To access the calls, simply dial 0808 169 7930 at 10:30 a.m. every Wednesday morning. That number again, 0808 169 7930. And that happens every Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. Our free telephone speaker seminars take place monthly with speakers from across the sight loss sector and beyond. These are structured so that following a formal information sharing presentation, listeners can contribute by asking questions and share their lived experiences of sight loss. A schedule of events and joining instructions will be given shortly. Influencing change. We believe that it's important that people who are blind or partially sighted, their family and carers, have a voice in the development of sight loss services and other community services across Devon. We therefore provide a sight loss forum and other ways for you to help influence change. For more information about our services, please ring the helpline on 01392 876 666. The helpline is open between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Monday to Friday. Chapter 4. Information, Advice and Guidance Service, News Desk. Keeping people affected by sight loss in Devon informed. Elizabeth Twining retires. Our membership officer, Elizabeth Twining, has recently retired from Devon in Sight. Elizabeth has volunteered for us for many years, maintaining our voting membership and helping us with a number of research projects and surveys, mailing out the magazine and supporting us at events. We wish to extend our sincere thanks to Elizabeth and her partner Mike, who have supported us for so many years. Thank you. Local visually impaired social club closures. Devon in Sight continues to promote all the independent social clubs for people who are blind or partially sighted and those affiliated with the Macular Society to our clients. However, running any community group is very challenging, particularly when it comes to recruiting voluntary helpers post-COVID-19. We were therefore very sad to hear about the closure of a number of Devon's VI clubs. Terry Grimsley, the chair of Seaton and District Club for the Visually Impaired, wrote to us recently to inform us that the club was closing after 30 years. Naturally, we are working with Terry to ensure that his members are registered with Devon in Sight so that they can receive InVision magazine and access our services. We've also heard that Sidmouth Blind Club and Tiverton Blind Club have also closed. This is terribly sad news. If you would like to join your local club for the visually impaired, we've included an updated social club directory in the print magazine, and I'll also be listing it at the end of this recording. Honiton Lions Club sponsors technology event. Devon in Sight would like to thank Honiton Lions for their very generous donation towards our technology event held in Honiton on the 18th of October 2022. The day was very well attended and hugely successful, and without donations such as these, we would not be able to hold as many events as we do. Honiton Lions are currently recruiting new members, and if you are interested in joining the Lions, please call Brian the Lion Richards, and his phone number is 01404 437 38. That number again for Brian the Lion is 01404 437 38. Chapter 5, Health and Wellbeing Service Telephone Speaker Seminars. In November 2020, Devon Insight introduced a programme of free telephone-based sight loss seminars where people could hear from our partners across the health and social care and voluntary sectors in the comfort of their own homes. These events are far from passive and are structured so that following a formal information sharing presentation, listeners can contribute by asking questions and share their lived experience of sight loss. This service has proved to be so well received that it continues monthly, attracting speakers from across the sight loss sector and beyond. An archive of previous seminars is accessible through the Devon Insight website under the Health and Wellbeing section. Sight loss speaker events take place every second Tuesday of the month at 10:30 a.m. on free phone 0808 169 7930. Calls from your home telephone or mobile are free. And now here's the programme for the next quarter. On Tuesday the 14th of March, Gardening by Touch, Sound, Smell and Taste. Discover new ways of engaging and enjoying nature as a blind or partially sighted person. Our guest speaker is Andrew Hesser, the man behind Brian's Quest, a website and YouTube channel dedicated to exploring the natural world from the perspective of Brian, a blind person. For those of you who are fans of Gardener's World, Brian appeared on Gardener's World last year. On Tuesday, the 11th of April, we're tackling loneliness with Transport, the Connecting You Project. Introducing Devon County Council's Connecting You Project. Understanding how transport can play a role in helping people who are feeling lonely. Our guest speaker is my new best friend. Her name is Karen Rose, a community transport advisor for the Transport Coordination Service of Devon County Council. And it's Karen I've been working with the bus driver training that we'll talk about in a minute. On Tuesday, the 9th of May, all you need is sleep. Good quality sleep makes a big difference to how we feel, mentally and physically, so it's important to get enough. Our guest speaker is Devon Insight's counsellor, Annie Ford. Annie will talk about the importance of good sleep and give some ideas of how to achieve it. So, our sight loss speaker seminars take place every second Tuesday of the month and can be accessed by ringing the following telephone number, 0808 169 7930. Please remember, calls from your home telephone or mobiles are free. Chapter 6, Health and Wellbeing Service, Blue Peter Behind the Badge. Now, this article in the magazine is illustrated by a photograph of myself, Graham Flynn, in the office with our guest, Blue Peter's Alex Legere. Here we go. Devon Insight's sight loss speaker seminars have largely focused around sight loss specific topics, with speakers from health and social care, as well as the voluntary sector. Our February event was a little different. Our guest was Alex Legere, a television producer, director and cameraman. For 36 years, Alex worked on the classic BBC television programme Blue Peter as the show's most prolific filmmaker. Blue Peter is the longest-running children's TV show in the world, having been broadcast since October 1958. When Alex joined Blue Peter in 1975, the lineup was John Noakes, Peter Purvis, and Leslie Judd. And he then worked with every one of the 27 presenters that followed until his retirement in 2011. Listeners were delighted to hear Alex's behind-the-scenes stories of working on the series in the studios at BBC Television Centre and on location around the world. In the years before health and safety risk assessments, Alex shared his experience of directing his 1977 film of John Noakes scaling Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square. In 1999, Alex made a film about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, a dormant volcano in Tanzania, Africa. What made this expedition so special is that it was made with Sightsavers. Sightsavers continues to this day, working in more than 30 countries to prevent avoidable blindness and fights for the rights of people with disabilities. The Blue Peter team were joined by 6 British and 6 African children with little or no sight on the trek to the summit. Alex shared stories of the effect of altitude sickness on the older members of the group. Now, Alex's book, Blue Peter, Behind the Badge, is a revealing behind-the-scenes journey through 4 decades of the nation's favourite children's programme. The book is available in print format through Amazon, and we're exploring ways that it can be made as an audiobook. To access the interview, please visit our Sight Loss Speaker Seminar archive. Alex's 2019 film about Devon in Sight can also be seen on our website by clicking the Donate to Devon in Sight page. To access our comprehensive speaker seminar archive, please visit our website at www.devoninsight.org.uk. That address again, www.devoninsight.org.uk. And the recordings are available under Events. Chapter 7, Partnership Feature, Clinical Research and Trials. There is a choice outside of teaching hospitals to access clinical trials. The Retina Eye Clinic London is the United Kingdom's first and only private, self-contained, dedicated retina clinic. It's located on Harley Street, London, and is led by Professor Paolo Eduardo Stanga, one of the most qualified vitro retinal surgeons and specialists in retinal diseases. Professor Stanga is an expert in his field and an international key opinion leader with over 30 years of experience in ophthalmology. Professor Stanga has pioneered many diagnostic technologies, treatments, and clinical trials. Amongst others, he has performed the first gene therapy surgery for dry age-related macular degeneration, dry AMD, with geographic atrophy, GA, in the United Kingdom, outside of a teaching hospital and as part of a clinical trial. Therefore, he is keen to make patients aware that there is choice outside of teaching hospitals to access clinical trials. Where no approved treatments are available, Professor Stanga and his dedicated research team have a passion for bringing the most innovative treatments to patients in the form of clinical trials. Clinical trials can be an option for patients who have previously been told that there is nothing else that can be done for them when there is no approved treatments for their retinal disease, i.e. dry age-related macular degeneration. The Retina Clinic London is also running clinical trials for diseases where there are already established treatments, but newer and potentially more effective drugs are being trialled, or new drugs for patients who are not responding to traditional methods of treatment in, for example, diabetic macular edema or wet age-related macular degeneration. Sometimes even to extend the interval between treatment sessions in chronic disease. This is all a bit of a mouthful, but all current clinical trials are industry-sponsored and are therefore at no cost to patients. Patients can even be reimbursed for travel and accommodation expenses, although minimum and maximum reimbursement amounts are dependent on each clinical trial. The Retina Clinic London offers clinical trials for patients with a diabetic macular edema, DME, dry age-related macular degeneration, that's dry AMD, with geographic atrophy, that's GA, and wet age-related macular degeneration, wet AMD. Professor Stanger is principal investigator, examiner and surgeon for all clinical trials at the Retina Clinic London and is supported by his research team. All diagnostic tests and treatments are carried out on site at the Retina Clinic London. For more information about accessing clinical trials, both private and through the NHS, please give us a call on the helpline. That number, as you know, is 01392. 876666. And now, Chapter 8. Case Study, Clinical Research and Trials. Research into sight loss would not be possible without the help of people living with sight loss conditions. In this issue, we are exploring opportunities for you to be involved in clinical research and trials. Devon Insight client Ray Doherty, aged 76, shares his story. In 2010, I was sailing around Britain with three friends when I noticed that my sight had deteriorated, particularly at night. Having returned home, I visited my GP, and he referred me to the eye unit at Torbay Hospital. The consultant ophthalmologist diagnosed dry macular degeneration in my left eye. At my request, he gave me a rather blunt explanation of what to expect in the years to come. I had some experience of the disease. My mother, late in her life, had suffered with it. One of a number of suggestions the consultant made for me was to join the Macular Society, a national charity for people living with macular disease. My main concern was the thought of my daughters and future grandchildren suffering with this awful disease. With this in mind, I requested the Macular Society place my name on the database for those who are keen to participate in clinical research and trials to eradicate or stem development of the disease. Over time, dry macular degeneration developed in my right eye too. The progression was much as the consultant had described in 2010. In 2012, my younger sister was diagnosed with the disease too. In December 2019, I was registered as severely sight impaired, which meant I was officially blind. In early 2021, my name was taken from the Macular Society database and passed to the Retina Clinic London under the leadership of Professor Paolo Eduardo Stanger. The Retina Clinic made contact and invited me for a day of eye tests to establish whether I was suitable for a clinical trial. On arrival, I immediately felt at ease. The staff were professional, kind, and understanding. From the results of these tests, I was invited by Professor Stanger to join the clinical trial. Full details of the trial were passed in hard copy format so that if I felt up the need, I could discuss any concerns with any other party. I was pleased that the staff talked about risk and expectations of the trial and gave me a cut-off period before starting the trial. I made the decision to join the trial, happy in the knowledge that I was making a contribution to ensure that my children may never suffer with the disease. Throughout the trial, I found the clinic a pleasure to visit, always a warm welcome on arrival. All my expenses are reimbursed by the clinic for my study visits. My trial will soon end, but Professor Stanger knows that if a suitable trial becomes available to me, I am ready to volunteer. I have no hesitation in recommending the clinic to others who suffer with the disease. I am happy to be doing my part for future generations. We'd like to thank Ray Doherty for sharing his experiences at the Retina Clinic London. Please remember, Devon Insight recommends that all decisions regarding treatment and trials are discussed with a health care professional. And now Chapter 9, Something for the Boys, Health and Wellbeing Feature, Men's Health, Prostate Cancer. Now in the magazine I've written the following introduction to the boys. Gentlemen, we are aware of a number of clients who are receiving treatment for prostate cancer. I recently went through a number of painless tests myself, so if you have any of the risk factors or symptoms, do something now. In the UK, about 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. It's the most common cancer in men, but most men with early prostate cancer don't have symptoms. Prostate cancer is not always life-threatening, but when it is, the earlier you catch it, the more likely it is to be cured. They don't know exactly what causes prostate cancer, but there are some things that may mean that you are more likely to get it. These are called risk factors. There are 3 main prostate cancer risk factors, which are things you cannot change. These are getting older. It mainly affects men aged 50 or over. Having a family history of prostate cancer, or being black. If you have any of these risk factors, or if you have any of the symptoms listed below, please speak to your general practitioner or a specialist nurse from Prostate Cancer UK. There's no way of knowing if you have prostate cancer without visiting your doctor, as most men with early prostate cancer don't have any symptoms. If you do have symptoms, they can be caused by other things. If you do notice changes in the way you urinate, this is more likely to be a sign of a very common non-cancerous problem called enlarged prostate, or another health problem, but it's still a good idea to get it checked out. Possible symptoms of prostate cancer include difficulty starting to urinate or emptying your bladder, a weak flow when you urinate, a feeling that your bladder hasn't emptied properly, dribbling urine when you've finished urinating, needing to urinate more often than usual, especially at night, a sudden need to urinate. You may sometimes leak urine before you get to the toilet. These symptoms can all be caused by other health problems. But it's still a good idea to tell your GP about any symptoms so they can find out what's causing them and make sure you get the right treatment if you need it. Your GP can give you more information or tests if necessary. We would like to thank Prostate Cancer UK for their support with this article. To speak to a specialist nurse from Prostate Cancer UK, please ring the following free phone number. 0800 074 8383. The number 0800 074 8383. For those of you with internet access, please visit www.prostatecancer.org. prostatecanceruk.org. That address again, www.prostatecanceruk.org. And now, Chapter 10. This continues in a rather serious vein, but important stuff. Health and well-being feature, domestic abuse awareness. The team at Devon Insight have recently been made aware of the fact that a number of callers into the health and well-being service have experienced domestic violence and abuse. Some have reported abuse at the hands of the general public. Domestic abuse is behaviour from a family member, partner, or ex-partner. It can happen to people of all genders and can include the following: physical or sexual abuse, violent or threatening behaviour, psychological or emotional abuse, coercive behaviour, for example, humiliation or intimidation, controlling behaviour, for example, making someone feel less important or dependent on the abuser, economic abuse. This includes controlling someone's possessions or how they earn or spend money. If you're a victim of domestic violence or abuse, there are many different organisations which can help you. Support for women. The National Domestic Abuse Helpline is a free phone 24-hour helpline which provides advice and support to women and can refer them to the emergency accommodation. The telephone number for refuge is 0808 2000 247. That number for refuge again is 0808 2000 247. Support for men. The Men's Advice Line, run by Respect, is a confidential helpline for all men experiencing domestic violence by a current or ex-partner. Their telephone number is 0808 8010 327. That number again, 0808 8010 327. Now, this is really important. Please remember, if there is an emergency or you feel afraid or have been hurt in any way, please call the police on 999. For confidential advice and support, you can ring Devon Insight on the helpline number. You'll hear it several times during this recording, but just for your information now, it's 01392 876 666. And now Chapter 11, something a little lighter. Health and Wellbeing Service feature, Spring Clean, Clutter-Free Home. Clutter in the home can cause extra problems for anyone with sight loss. The spring is a great opportunity to clear away anything you don't need or don't love. Getting rid of clutter will also mean that you have more time to do the things you enjoy, as there will be less cleaning, less stuff to organise, and things will be easier to find. This could even help you feel calmer and less stressed. You'll still have the things you love around you and can really appreciate them, so you should feel happier too. One of the callers to our Wednesday chit-chat calls told us about his experience. I live in a flat, so I don't have an attic, but I do have a small, narrow storage room. When I first moved here, I put all of my treasured vinyl records and CDs on the shelves in the store, but over time that space had become so full that I couldn't even get into it. I decided to tackle it, just doing a small amount at a time. It wasn't easy, but little by little I decided what I really wanted to keep. I had a beautiful cashmere and wool coat hung over a chair for a good 2 weeks before I was ready to let that go. I learned to let go of the old me and embrace the new me who is living with sight loss, and I feel good about life and who I am now. Here are some tips that will help you start. Choose the ones that suit you best. Only do 5 minutes decluttering to start with and work up to 15 minutes a day. Tackle one room at a time. Set mini decluttering goals. Perhaps a sock drawer, a wallet, a bedside table, or a shelf in the bathroom. Use baskets and label them throw, give away, keep, put away, and maybe for things you aren't sure about. When you tackle a room, it's easier to clear the clutter. Give something away every day. That would be 365 things gone from your home each year. Fill a rubbish bag once a week. Donate clothes you never wear. If you haven't worn something for a year, chances are you never will. Set your own challenge. For example, 6 things to throw away, 6 things to donate to a charity shop, and 6 things you can put away properly. Make a one-in, one-out rule. See your home through the eyes of a visitor. This could be all the motivation you need. And finally, get help from a friend. Once you have a clutter-free home, you can decide how to keep it that way. Make your own rule. Perhaps anything new must add great value to my life, either because it's really helpful or because it makes me smile. Chapter 12. Independent Living Service. Living Well with Sight Loss Events. Now, in the print magazine, this is illustrated with a photograph of myself and our friend Tony Shrub at our patent event, talking to a room full of people. Last year, we held a number of assistive technology events across Devon. Many of you benefited from meeting Tony Shrub from Sight and Sound Technology, the largest supplier of low vision equipment in the country. We've expanded these events to include more partners from the sight loss sector, such as Blind Veterans UK, RNIB Technology Support Volunteers, Talking Newspapers, Sensory Team Rehabilitation Officers, local blind clubs, Lions Clubs, the Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue Service, and Community Transport. These expanded events are now called Living Well with Sight Loss Events. Our registered clients who live in the vicinity of each of these events will receive an invitation closer to the dates. Now, here are our spring events calendar. South Moulton Event. The South Moulton Event will be held on Tuesday, the 28th of March, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at South Moulton Library. This is in Amory House, 125 East Street, South Moulton. So that South Moulton event again is on Tuesday, the 28th of March, at South Moulton Library. The second event this spring will be at Kingsbridge. The Kingsbridge event takes place on Thursday, the 20th of April, between 10 and 2, at Kingsbridge Care Hub. This is in Key House, 4 Ibbots Road, Kingsbridge. That's on Thursday, the 20th of April, Kingsbridge Care Hub, Key House, 4 Ibbot Road in Kingsbridge. We're currently planning future Living Well with Sight Loss events in Tavistock, Tiverton and Exeter. Our Living Well with Sight Loss events are supported by our assistive technology partner, Sight and Sound Technology, and Devon County Council. Now, this is really important. I know what a proud bunch you are, but if transport or affording transport is a barrier to you attending our community-based events, we want to hear from you because we've got a little bit of money to help. For information about our Living with Sight Loss events, please ring the helpline on 01392 876 666. And just a reminder that those of you who live in these towns will receive an invitation through the post. Chapter 13. Independent Living Service Case Study. My experiences of accessing buses. Now, this article in the print magazine is illustrated by a photograph I took of a stagecoach bus in Exeter High Street last summer. So there's a blue sky. It's just a bus in an Exeter street. Jane Arkley totally lost her sight as a young woman in her early 20s. She went through some good rehabilitation, developing good long cane skills, and eventually had a guide dog. Jane had a young daughter, attended college, and worked as a full-time professional youth and community worker. She lived a full-time life. During this time, she lived in a different part of the country to Devon. She would have been described as somebody with excellent mobility skills. She used public transport most days around her local area and on a regular basis travelled via train to places like London and then across London itself. About 20 years ago, Jane had a sudden medical emergency which changed everything. Jane recalls, "I've been fortunate to have survived against the odds, having had 4 life-saving, high-risk, open-heart operations. During the last 12 years, I've been unable to work, unable to travel around, and due to the physical health delicacies I had, I was unable to go anywhere without another person with me. As a result, I have lost my excellent level of independent mobility skills. This was further complicated by a move to Devon. Despite all these challenges, I now feel able to start going out and about again independently. The problem is 12 years is a long time, and I live in a different area which is unfamiliar to me. Thankfully, I am working with a mobility officer to regain my mobility skills and to rebuild my confidence in getting out and about. It's early days, and the only mode of public transport I've engaged with is the local bus service. This makes sense for me to try and master first, as it is my main mode of transport in and out of Exeter city centre, which is about 3 miles from where I live. Sadly, my early experiences of accessing public transport have not been positive. I am left with anxiety reactions, which is not my usual response to situations. The first issue is accessing the bus stop where I live. The bus stop is by a tree. This tree has a big hole surrounding it. I've spent a good few weeks learning how to ensure my foot does not get twisted in the hole. A good fence around the tree area would have saved me a lot of time and energy. Then there has been the issue of reliability. With my mobility officer, we check out the times of the bus, confirming them on the bus company website. It's very frustrating to be stood at the bus stop an hour later with still no bus turning up. This has happened a good few times. One of the times standing there, the neighbour who lives just by this bus stop came out to inform us that the buses not turning up when they were supposed to is a regular occurrence. This unreliability has certainly made me feel very unsettled about learning to build up confidence again in accessing and using public transport. Another issue is that when I'm actually on the bus, I am surprised to find no stop announcements. I know you can ask the bus driver to let you know, but I also know bus drivers are human and have more than just me as their passenger to consider, and sometimes they forget to let you know. So having announcement systems in place provides reassurance that one will get off at the right stop. I say I was surprised because over 12 years ago, I've certainly travelled on buses in London where these announcement systems were reliably operating. Unfortunately, this again makes me feel very nervous about using buses to get out and about. In addition, I've concerns around locating the bus stop at the other end of my return journey, as well as some anxieties about knowing whether a bus is approaching the bus stop and whether it is the bus I need. I don't know how things will pan out. For now, I am continuing to work with my mobility officer. We are still working on my first route, which involves taking a bus to my local GP surgery. I hope to get this route ticked off soon, so I can begin to tackle travelling into Exeter city centre. I'm feeling extremely nervous about this, and I'm not sure how far I will get in this process in trying to regain my independent mobility skills. I do hope things can be improved to help me stand a little chance, at least. I am now considering some solutions to these concerns, as I am sure there are complexities involved. But if given free rein in what would make Devon buses accessible to me as a visually impaired person, they would be the following. Number one, I would like each bus stop to have a consistent name, which is standardised and clear. So if a smartphone app is made available, then the name of the bus stop can be confidently relied upon. Number two, to have some kind of bus stop announcement system. This is to ensure certainty that one has located the correct bus stop and therefore is waiting at the right one for their bus, especially in areas where there might be more than one bus stop close by to each other. Maybe this could be achieved via a smartphone app or something such like, then perhaps shown to mobility officers so they could pass this on to the people they work with. Number three, a good, accessible way of understanding any delays, so at least if reliability is a problem, then a visually impaired person can at least be informed. Naturally, I would prefer a reduction in these reliability issues. Number four, a way to be informed what number bus is approaching the bus stop in plenty of time for a visually impaired person to navigate their way to the bus stop and to be in a safe position to alert the bus driver that one would like the bus to stop. Number five, having a safe way for me to indicate that I am waiting for a bus is essential. The last thing a visually impaired person needs to do is stand with their arm out in the road for half an hour, risking a lorry coming along and knocking their arm or head off. After all, a lorry engine can sometimes sound like a bus engine, and lorries sometimes travel very close to the pavement with their wing mirrors hanging over into the pavement area. I felt very unsafe at my local bus stop, because the vehicles speed up a little at that point, and sometimes wing mirrors do hang over the pavement. Number six, I would love to be sitting safely in my seat before the driver moves off. Failure to do this can be very frightening. Number seven, for all buses to have an announcement system in place. This could be an automated announcement, or the driver saying, "The next bus stop will be, etc., etc." Item 8. A second announcement when the bus has stopped would confirm the stop. I hope I have been able to highlight some of the issues as a person living with a visual impairment has accessing local buses. Here I am continuing with my mobility rehabilitation in the hope that things can be improved for a better and safer accessibility going forward. We would like to thank Jane Arclay for her article, This will form a case study for the Devon County Council's Connecting You project. Chapter 14, Influencing Change Feature, Devon Driver Awareness Training 2023. This article in the print edition is illustrated by an article of the speakers at the training, and they are Tessa Barrett, myself, Leah Mannion, Tim Malamerton, and Karen Rose. It's a nice picture of us all smiling and standing around Leah, who is a wheelchair user. In the last edition of InVision magazine, we shared with you that Devon Insight had partnered with Devon County Council's Connecting You project with the aim of tackling loneliness through transport across the county. The Driver Awareness Training Program recognises how crucial the role of a driver is to a passenger's journey of public and community transport. We are helping drivers to overcome their own concerns about offering help to passengers with protected characteristics such as a disability. During February, March and April, staff from Devon Insight, Living Options Devon and North Devon Voluntary Services are delivering a training programme to our smaller and medium-sized commercial bus operators and community transport providers. The course content includes disability law and awareness sessions around disabilities, both visible and invisible, wheelchair users and people living with dementia and sight loss. Staff participating in the training have already increased their knowledge and skills when offering support and assistance to anyone living with low vision. They'll also be helping our mission to make Devon a better place for people who are blind or partially sighted to live. Evaluations of the course have been very encouraging, with participants giving very positive feedback. One delegate summed it up by simply saying, "It was an excellent course." Feedback from public and community transport drivers is also helping us develop the training, but also highlights what would make dealing with the public easier for them. There were calls from the drivers for people with sight loss to make it clearer that they have an issue. This can be achieved by using a Devon Access wallet, carrying a symbol cane, wearing a partially sighted badge, or a sunflower lanyard. It was clear that many drivers are keen to support people on their journeys. You'll be hearing more about the Devon Access Wallet Scheme in the next article. Chapter 15, The Devon Access Wallet Scheme. This is illustrated with a photograph of one of the wallets. It's a plastic wallet with the Devon County Council logo on the front, the GWR logo, and Stagecoach Southwest, and it's bright orange. Do you often find public transport difficult to use and find the experience stressful and isolating? Do you lack the confidence to travel independently? The Devon Access Wallet Scheme has been developed to help make journeys by bus or train easier for anyone with communication difficulties, people with disabilities, deaf people, and those whose first language is not English. It will also give transport staff a better understanding of the requirements of all disabled passengers. Devon County Council has worked in partnership with First Devon and Cornwall, First Great Western, and Stagecoach Devon to devise the scheme. Susan, one of our clients from East Devon, said, "After losing my car last week, I was feeling very low and called Devon Insight to see what help was available. They understood the impact of no longer being able to drive and provided me with information and reassurance to travel by public transport. The Devon Access Wallet was a big help to give me the confidence to use public transport. After my first journey, I contacted the charity as I didn't know that there was so much help out there." The wallet has been carefully designed with a fluorescent orange cover to let transport staff know that people carrying it may need help with their journey. The Devon Access wallet contains plastic pockets into which cards can be placed to help communication with staff. At Devon in Sight, we have produced some cards for people who are blind or partially sighted. These include, I have a vision impairment. Single or return fare, please. Can you help let me know when I get to my stop? Which platform do I catch my train from? And a place for you to record emergency contact details. Please note, the Access wallet does not give you free or discounted travel. If you're over 60 or disabled, you may be entitled to a free bus travel in Devon or a senior or disabled person's rail card. Devon in Sight is working in partnership with Devon County Council to promote the scheme. To order your Devon Access wallet and our cards, please ring the helpline. Chapter 16. Fundraising News. Community Fundraising. In the print edition, this article is illustrated with a gathering of people with lots of bottles of wine and food, with a graphic saying £1,000 raised. Kingsbridge Estuary Rotary Club put the fun into fundraising. On Friday, the 27th of January, members of Kingsbridge Estuary Rotary Club held a wine tasting evening to raise funds for Devon in Sight. Rotary Club members, together with wine-loving friends, including the town mayor, spent a thoroughly enjoyable evening sampling their way through a carefully curated wine list of 14 wines. Before anyone cries, "Drunkards!" it was all in a good cause. The wines were an eclectic mix of oddities and goodies, chosen by the host from her liquid journey through life, and represented a very welcome change from the more usual selections on offer at commercial wine tastings. Paired with a delectable array of charcuterie, home-cured gravlax, cheese platters and rich fruitcake for contrast, it was a wonderful way to while away a few hours and do some good at the same time. Certainly, everyone went home with that warm, fuzzy feeling. Thanks to the generosity of the Rotary Club members, who manfully slurped their way through to the end, together with all those members who, whilst not imbibers themselves, still wanted to support their president's charity, the sum of £1,000 has been handed over to Devon in Sight. The team at Devon in Sight would like to extend our sincere thanks to Amanda Bloomer, the president of Kingsbridge Estuary Rotary Club, for supporting Devon in Sight during her term of office. There are 46,000 Rotary and Rotaract clubs around the world. It's easy to find a club that fits your passion and purpose. If you are interested in becoming a Rotarian, please visit their website. The address is www.rotary.org. That's www.rotary.org. And Rotary is spelt R-O-T-A-R-Y. Romeo Oscar Tango Alpha Romeo Yankee. For more information about fundraising or to hold your own event, please give us a call on the Devon in Sight helpline. And now, Chapter 17, Supporting Us, How You Can Help Us. It has never been more important to do your bit to support your local sight loss charity. For nearly 100 years, people like you have helped Devon in Sight to provide essential support services to people with little or no sight across the whole of Devon. Your generosity is astonishing. We would like to thank all of you who have made one-off donations or become regular donors through our Friends of Devon in Sight regular giving scheme. Could you spare the cost of a cup of coffee to help fund future editions of this magazine? to provide counselling sessions for people in crisis, to keep our telephone support services running. Our vital work changes lives. We know that times are hard for everyone, but if you're able to support us with a small donation, it means we can continue this vital work. There are a number of ways that you can help support Devon in Sight financially to continue supporting people with sight loss across Devon. Friends of Devon in Sight. Our regular giving scheme, Friends of Devon in Sight, is the best way that you can support your charity during these very challenging times. Give as little or as much as you would like with a monthly direct debit. Make a one-off donation over the phone. You can make a card donation over the telephone by ringing the main helpline number. You can make a one-off donation by cheque. Please make cheques payable to Devon in Sight and send them to the office manager, Devon in Sight, Splatford Barton, Ken Ford, Exeter EX6 7XY. That address again, the office manager, Devon in Sight, Splatford Barton, Ken Ford, Exeter EX6 7XY. You could also put a cheque in an envelope in your audio pouch. Make a one-off donation by bank transfer. For those of you with internet access, you can make a donation through online banking. This uses our formal title, which is the Devon County Association for the Blind. The sort code is 308037. Sort code again, 308037. An account number 623267 68. That account number again, 623267 68. You can also leave us a gift in your will. Ask for a copy of our Ultimate Guide to Leaving a Lasting Legacy to Charity. This is designed to give you an overview of the importance of making a will, a will writing checklist, and how legacies have supported our work. If you'd like any information about making a donation, please, please give us a call on the helpline. The telephone number is 01392 876 666. That number again, 01392 876 666. Now to chapters 18 and 19. These are going to be a social club's directory and also a talking newspaper directory. So if you don't want to listen to these, which is listing all the contact details, you can flip through to chapter 20, which will be the farewell. So here's chapter 18, Health and Wellbeing Feature, VI Social Clubs Directory. Having sight loss doesn't mean sitting at home on your own. There are many social clubs for visually impaired people across Devon where people can come together and enjoy each other's company. Most club meetings have some entertainment and the occasional outing. However, many of our clients tell us that the real attraction is just having the opportunity to get out of the house, sit and talk with others, share a joke, have a coffee, and feel safe in the knowledge that they are among friends. As reported in the news section, many clubs are keen for new members and to attract volunteers. Why not give your local club a go? Now, it would be very dull if I was to now read for the next quarter of an hour all the contact details and telephone numbers. So what I'm going to do is tell you the areas and the names of the clubs. And if you would like to have the name and telephone number of the club leader, we're happy to pass those on to you. So here's a list of the East Devon clubs. There's Exeter Society for the Blind, Exeter Macular Group, and Exmouth Macular Group. In Mid Devon, there is the Crediton Club. In North Devon and Torridge, there are Barnstaple Macular Group, Biddeford and Torridge Macular Group, Bude and Holsworthy Macular Group, and Torridge Friendship and VIP Group. Plymouth, Southhams and Teenbridge Clubs. Dartmouth Caring, Newton Abbott Care for the Blind Society, Plymouth Macular Group, Plimpton Macular Group, Tynmouth Macular Group. In Torbay, there is Torbay Social Club for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and Visualise Brixham and Visualise Paynton. And finally, in West Devon, there's Tavistock Macular Group. So as I said, I'm not going to read out all the names and telephone numbers. Please give us a call to help locate your local VI Social Club. Give us a call on the helpline, 01392 876 666. And now, Chapter 19, Talking Newspapers and Magazines. Being able to see the printed word is something a lot of us take for granted. Blind and partially sighted people don't have this opportunity. Talking newspapers are available in many areas of Devon, keeping people in touch. Last year, Hayden Thomas, the chair of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking Newspaper Association, summed up how Devon Insight promotes and supports many talking newspapers across Devon. Mr. Thomas said, "For the visual impairment sector to work, partnerships are essential. As a small charity, we provide a weekly news service for visually impaired adults across East Devon. Our essential service would not be possible without the support of Devon Insight, who not only make referrals to us, but also provide us with professional expertise, advice and guidance. Many talking newspapers are able to provide subscribers with a free USB speaker, so you can listen to the recordings. These are easy to operate and don't take up much space in your home." Now, again, I've got a talking newspaper directory here. I'm just going to tell you the areas they cover, and if you would like more details, please give us a call on the helpline. So our talking newspaper directory for 2023 is as follows. Crediton Talking Newspaper, Dawlish and Tynmouth Talking Newspaper, which is known as Here and Now, Teignbridge Talking Newspaper, which is also known as Diron's Journal, Exeter District Talking Newspaper, also known as Isca Tape, Exmouth Talking Newspaper, Mid Devon Messenger, North Devon Talking Newspaper, Plymouth and West Devon Talking Newspaper, Sid Vale Talking Newspaper, South Hams Talking Newspaper, and Torridge Talking Newspaper. Our directory of talking newspapers and magazines can be found on the Devon Insight website under information at www.devoninsight.org.uk. Now, you can also give us a call in the office and we'll give you the contact name and telephone number. So there you have it. That's the end of the spring edition of InVision magazine, the magazine of Devon Insight. I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget to return your USB data stick as soon as possible. And we'll be speaking again in the summer. So this is farewell from Graham here at Devon Insight, wishing you a happy and prosperous spring. And again, just a reminder that if you have any inquiries or need any assistance, give us a call on the helpline number, which is 01392 876 666. That number again, 01392 876 666. Can I just appeal to people to be a little patient? The charity is very small. There are only three of us. We will get to your calls as soon as we can. We obviously prioritise the more serious cases first, but we will return your call. Take care. Bye-bye.